welcome to the Cowboy Chronicles, the Oklahomans, Oklahoma State Athletics Podcast. I am your host, Scott Wright, joined by my beat partner, Jacob Unruh. And as always, the Cowboy Chronicles Podcast is brought to you by Zaxby's. Satisfy your craving for hand-breaded chicken and fresh-made salads. Stop by your neighborhood Zaxby's today or order online at zaxbys.com/podcast. It feels so weird to say it because we're in the end of January, but there's been a lot that's happened with Oklahoma State football since our last podcast.
It's kind of crazy.
It is. It's a little bizarre to have. We really, you know, when they threw out the pep rally, you obviously had everybody waiting on Tylan and Chuba to make their announcements. It hasn't slowed down at all, hardly, from football season.
No, and here's my plea to the Cowboys right now: take a break.
Right. it wouldn't hurt. And the truth is, I don't know that there's going to be much of a break for a while. I think, you know, when we'll get into some recruiting stuff a little bit later, but when you're recruiting off the portal, there's no deadline.
It's true.
There's no signing day. I do think Oklahoma State's going to end up signing a couple of guys. They will officially announce, Jabbar Mohammed's signing next Wednesday. So
we're a week away. We're recording this Wednesday morning. Right. We are a week away from the national signing day.
I was trying to remember. That's why I got held up. I was trying to remember what day it is because the whole week has just run together in a big blur. But yes, it is a week away as we record this right now. Oklahoma State at this point, if you include Mohammed among the players who have already signed. Four spots left to fill. I think they might fill one, maybe two before signing day, and the rest they're gonna be shopping on the portal, trying to fill some spots. You know, like I said, we'll get into some recruiting stuff a little bit later. But
is the portal like Amazon or something where you're just kind of scrolling through, looking at pictures of things?
Pretty much.
Hey, there's a sale on this guy.
Right. Yeah.
Sale price.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah. Like, this one has some. This one has 5-star reviews. Yeah. Let's check him out.
Ooh, Prime. It's got Prime shipping. Right. All right, he gets here soon.
Right. Free shipping on this guy. Yeah, I think that's pretty much what it is. Yeah.
All right, just making sure. Like, mm-hmm. You just throw a guy in your basket. And
exactly.
You can also hit save for later on the basket.
Save for later. Save for later.
Do some research.
Exactly. Yeah. Maybe there's a better deal out there, but you gotta check.
Deal of the day pops up every once in a while.
Exactly. You never know what's going to show up. For the third time. We'll get to some recruiting later.
Sorry. No. It just popped in my head. It was fun.
It is. It's good stuff. The transfer out issue is kind of where I wanted to start because I know a lot of Oklahoma State fans are concerned about the exodus of receivers right now. Four guys this month. And to kind of take them one by one, Patrick McCoffman. It's a guy that just wants to play.
Yeah.
He's had his knee injury.
Never could get on the field.
Couldn't get on the field. Saw a lot of roadblocks ahead. I'm not going to fault the kid for wanting to play. I felt the same way about Kevin Henry. You know, guy who's getting his sixth year and wants a chance to play. He landed at Tulane for those who didn't see. McCoffman hasn't landed anywhere at this point yet that I've seen.
Tulane's good for Kevin because he's an Louisiana guy.
It is. Close to home.
Close to his family, he's really close to his mom.
Yeah,
like that's really
absolutely.
Good.
After McCoffman, there was Terrell Alexander, another guy, grad transfer, wanted a chance to play. And he was another one. Even though he was getting used a little bit in some spot situations last year, still kind of saw some roadblocks, and he can go somewhere and be a starter. At a different type of program, so you can understand that. Elsie Greenwood was one that surprise is too strong a word, but I was a little more caught off guard. Not incredibly surprised, but a little bit caught off guard because he was being more frequently used. He caught a few passes last year. That was that. He's a guy that I thought might might be building his way into the rotation, and particularly have a really good chance in 2021. But guys want to play, and
they don't want to sit around. They're not going to wait around and see if a guy gets hurt to get their chance. Yeah. I mean, they're just not.
Yeah, exactly. And then of course the biggest one of all being C.J. Moore, who announced on Tuesday morning that he is entering the transfer portal. I was not as surprised as some OSU folks were about this, because there'd just been something off all the way through. It felt like
he was never in that good of graces with the coaching staff at times.
Yeah, something, you know, with the way his season started.
Yeah.
Two touchdowns in the first two games, his first three.
Like everything he was catching in the first couple games were touchdowns.
Yeah, exactly. And
even the short one against McNeese State, where he turned into the screen of that long touchdown. He wasn't supposed to score on that.
Exactly. And the touchdown he had against Oregon State was a really tough catch on that slant route at the goal line. So you thought that he was going to be a guy who was going to emerge, and ended up only playing in five games, which I couldn't believe until I went back and looked at the stats yesterday. Caught four passes.
I think I remember writing about him going to the Tulsa week.
Right.
Either wrote about him, or I know at least talked to him that week.
Yeah.
And he was thinking, oh, he's going home, played a field he played on multiple times out at Union.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't even, I don't think they even targeted him that day. I'd have to go back and look. I don't know if they even targeted him.
No.
He was non-existent all of a sudden against Tulsa.
Yeah.
And of course, Chuba had a big day and things like that. But they didn't even try to throw the ball to him. He was on the field a few times, but didn't even look at him.
No. No. So it was interesting situation to see the way that things developed, but like I said, he only played in five games, which made you feel that something wasn't meshing. I don't know how much this was a factor, but genetically, he's just not going to be able to add weight. That's when you've been on a college campus for this long, and you're not any bigger than you were when you came in his situation.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things that genetically, that's who you are, and he's just going to be a skinny dude. And I don't necessarily know that OSU coaches would sit him because he's too skinny, but it's a concern.
Mm-hmm.
You worry about a guy like that taking a beating. It's a tough situation, and I wonder. They had a grad transfer on the portal who came in for a visit last weekend. Ended up committing to Missouri, and I can't remember the guy's name at this point. But he committed to Missouri, and you wonder if that maybe rubbed things the wrong way for C.J. Moore. Because he saw that last year where it looked like he was going to be in line for a starting job, and they go out and bring in Jordan McRae,
right,
and it bumps him down a notch. Maybe he felt like, he felt like they don't believe in his abilities to step in. Because right now, as it sits, he's not a guy that I see competing for a starting job without a grad transfer coming in.
Not at all, because the four receivers, are pretty set.
Yeah, I feel like Braden Johnson has established himself at that other outside position now. So so CJ was looking at another backup role once again. So that's it's a tough thing. Two of those recruits were four-star guys. And it's you hate to lose those, especially when you're Mike Gundy and you get so much crap for not recruiting enough four-star guys. But this is also sort of proves his theory that the stars don't matter that much, and they're more about developing talent, and they've obviously developed talent that has surpassed these two four-star guys. So it's a tricky situation, but and I know Oklahoma State fans are nervous because of this. I don't see huge reason for concern.
No.
At least not right now.
No. I mean, on paper, when you look at it, what you've got, what OSU has coming back at receiver is really, really impressive.
Yeah.
And so you're talking about guys that may not have seen the field anyways.
Right.
Especially everyone exactly. stays healthy.
Yeah.
So there is it a big loss?
Not in the immediate view
right.
at all. You know, you start looking to 2021, you got to have somebody to replace Tylan.
Mm-hmm.
Stoner is gone, though that doesn't really affect any of these guys. These were all outside receivers.
Yeah.
Wolf
might be gone too, right?
Yeah, he's going to be a senior.
Yeah.
So you're looking to Brennan Presley.
Yeah. And they're ecstatic about Presley.
Oh, yeah.
So there's nothing absolutely. To be worried about right there, right now. They're extremely ecstatic. He's going to go in and fill a Stoner, Landon yep. Wolf role in 2021.
Given that, do you try to maybe not redshirt him if he's ready?
If he's ready, I don't think you have to redshirt him, right?
Yeah.
But I also feel like he might be a guy that they are going to try to redshirt, and he's going to get four games.
Yeah.
Playing some at receiver.
Yeah.
Just to see what he can do. Mm-hmm. He's also fast enough that you can do what you do with Stoner some and try to run those reverses and
right.
things yeah. like that and just really see what he can do.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah. I think there's going to be an ability that you want to see if you can get him in there and get him some experience and yeah. see what he can do.
Yeah, because he could be a really key player in 2021. You're going to need to, I think, get him some experience there and try to help him out.
He's got a little bit of a different mentality than some of the high school kids I recruited to.
Yeah.
Or I covered too that mm-hmm. were recruited. He knows how to win,
mm-hmm.
and he's really, really dedicated to that.
Yeah.
When you talk with him, and you talk to him about what he can do as a player, it's very team-oriented for the win. And I think that's also what draws Gundy to him.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to show through at some point this next fall too.
Yeah. There are a lot of times that the guys have those intangibles that get passed over because they're 5'8", 155.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that those guys have a lot of value. I really do. And I think Presley is going to be a really solid player in a lot of different ways for this program over the course of his career. So.
And I remember sitting when I was still in high school, beat this last summer. Sitting we had, for those who don't know, we had all the Tulsa kids that could, they were in the Super 30, meet us at the gathering place for photos
mm-hmm.
that day to make it easy. I had one site, they met us. We did the interviews for stories, did videos, things like that. And I remember sitting there with Brennan. He hadn't gotten the OSU offer yet. This was in June.
Right.
And I don't think he had any Power 5 offers yet, if I remember right. And Kansas had been talking to him a little bit, but they had already offered the Pearson kid at Union,
mm-hmm.
who ultimately committed by then already. Similar style, similar right. size players at
right.
least. And I don't think they were going to take another one like that. Presley was a little frustrated that yeah. no one was offering him because he was 5'8".
Yeah.
You know, he was just so small. But he kept saying, Kansas is talking to me. OSU's showing some interest. If OSU will offer, I'm there.
Yeah.
Essentially. And yeah. he was so hopeful. And I think that's just a good sign that, like, if he that's where he wanted to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, I think he's a great fit all areas. Personality, mm-hmm. Motivation, drive, ability. All of it. I think he's a great fit. So
he's also got the personality I like talking to. So that's even another why I think he's a great fit, is he's just fun to talk to.
Yes. Well,
we won't get to better, it the first
you better,
year.
You better give him a call.
Yeah.
Because pretty soon he's going to be off limits.
Exactly.
I want to explain that phrase, because I used that phrase the other day talking to somebody. And they said, what do you mean they're off limits? Like, well, this wasn't even a freshman, but said players are off limits until spring ball. What do you mean off limits? Like, we can't go talk to football players right now.
Nope. We can't walk up to Trace Ford and be like, hey, what's going on?
Right.
And
exactly.
Pull out a recorder.
Exactly. So we say we use that phrase from time to time. That's what we mean. Right. Right now, no interviews are allowed until spring ball or some other. If they have another pep rally,
yeah.
we might get to talk to some other guys. True fresh first year players off limits to the media for the first year. I think we've explained
even
that,
if they're
a
graduate
process.
Transfer.
Like, exactly.
We never talked to Jordan McCray.
Not once. Well, I talked to him on the phone before. Yeah.
I've never met him. Not once.
But, yeah.
I couldn't pick him out of a lineup, probably. Like, you could stand him there with CJ Moore and guys like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I would know who Jordan McRae was.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to think if they had enough long-haired guys that you could have...
It would have been tough.
Could have mixed it in and confused you. Yeah. All right. Let's take a break. We'll come back, talk some recruiting. Want to get in some basketball talk. Got to visit with baseball players. You did. I talked to some softball players. Want to get all of that in here on the Cowboy Chronicles presented by Zaxby's. We are back on the Cowboy Chronicles presented by Zaxby's. The recruiting talk that I teased and teased and teased in the first segment. We're getting there. It's been an interesting name that has popped up with a recent offer here just within the last few days. From what I'm hearing, Oklahoma State has a pretty good shot at this guy. I love the guy's name. I feel sorry for him because I think he's probably gotten made fun of because of it. I'm going to see if you even get the reference, but the guy's name is Lamont Bishop. He's a linebacker from Iowa Central Community College, a JUCO guy, JUCO linebacker.
Lamont Bishop.
Big guy. First name is the reference, but it might be before your time.
I'm Lamont. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll get to it. Then. Because I know I'm hoping we've got some listeners out there that get where I'm going with this. But anyway, I've seen him. His height, weight is all over the place in different things that I've seen. The Iowa Central website doesn't actually even list height and weight, but he's a roughly 6'3". 230, somewhere in that range.
Oof.
And he plays a middle linebacker type of role. I don't know for sure if that's the role that Oklahoma State sees him in, if they're wanting to fill that Kevin Henry spot behind Amon, or if they've got some other type of idea in maybe, you know, having him help out behind Trace Ford and Brock Martin at that defensive end spot. You know, I think they would need him more at the middle linebacker spot. They've got Tyron Irby as a third team guy at that Leo. So, you know, the middle linebacker is more of a concern right now, I would think. So, and he's also a guy who has not redshirted at this point. So he could redshirt and have him for two more years if needed. But I think with possibly Devin Harper can play that mm-hmm. middle linebacker position, but I think they'd probably rather get somebody else in and have Harper as your backup to Malcolm Rodriguez, because you still don't know what you're going to get from Calvin Bundage at this point.
Still no guarantees with him.
No, I know. Amon got people really fired up because he threw his name out at the pep rally. We're still you're going to have to see him on the field for a significant period of time in practice before you can count on anything from Calvin Bundage.
You just don't know how back injuries are going to respond.
Yeah, exactly. And, we've talked about this before, but you can't work out with a back injury.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got a lot of work to do to get back in shape. We don't know, he's a guy who has, I don't want to say weight issues, but he was an offensive lineman when he was a freshman in high school,
mm-hmm.
and he made some really serious commitments to get himself down to what did he get? He got down to like 180, 190, something like that in high school, and now he's back up to 210. But it's something that he monitors very closely, or at least he had been while he was healthy. You don't know how all of that could work for him. That's obviously something that could be difficult for him.
And
I mean, we've seen him. He doesn't look like he's.
I saw him recently on campus. I didn't recognize him at first, but it wasn't. He didn't look different body wise.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but still, somewhat out of shape at this point because he just can't do a whole lot of working out with that injury. So, that's, I think, Lamont is a Sanford and Son reference.
So, oh yeah, no, that's before me.
Lamont, you big dummy! that's every time the guy makes a mistake, you're going to see that meme on Twitter. That's all.
From
that's
you.
All I'm saying. No, I won't do that to the kid.
Okay,
I might I might call him that whenever I finally get to talk to him.
Oh, okay.
Just every time he walks up, I'll just say that. Just say that because I enjoy it.
What if he's never heard that reference?
That you know what? I'll be honest. I contacted the guy on Twitter and trying to set up an interview. I'm gonna have to ask him. Surely he's had to have been educated on it by now, by a teacher or somebody in throughout the course of his life.
You would think, but I don't know.
You never know.
It's definitely before his time.
Oh, absolutely.
And before his friend's time.
Yes, exactly. You know, running back is obviously a concern right now, but you know, both guys that they were looking at chose other places. Kamonte Bradford takes his spot at LSU, and Corey Wren goes to Florida State. Oddly enough, the other guy that Oklahoma State had been recruiting, who I think was sort of their backup plan if Chuba left, LaDainian Webb, he went to Florida State as well. So Florida State really racked up on running backs in this class, but he was a JUCO guy. So you know, once it became clear that Chuba was sticking around, I don't know that Oklahoma State pursued him all that heavily.
Yeah.
But at this point, I don't think they're going to land a running back unless there's somebody out there that just emerges that we haven't heard about. I think that Zach Middleton is going to be the running back in this class, which
is an upset.
Yeah,
it's an upset victory for Zach Middleton.
Yes, it is. That's absolutely right, because you look ahead beyond 2020, and your depth chart suddenly is Dez Jackson, DeAndre Glass, Zach Middleton, and that's the only scholarship guys at this point, because LD Brown will be gone, Chuba we assume will be gone. I'm not missing anybody, am I?
I don't think so. Micah Cooper's not a scholarship guy.
No, he's gonna be a senior. Mbari Snoddy, who was a guy who suited up a few times.
Yeah,
but it's walk-ons at that point. So,
man.
Very interesting situation for the running backs, and it puts a whole lot more pressure on their 2021 running back recruiting. Obviously, they're the top of the list for Cameron Valdez, the 4-star, who is a highly recruited player. And then you got to think they're probably going to take another guy in that class just to make sure that they're feeling comfortable, whether it's a JUCO guy or a transfer or whatever.
Yeah, because I don't know, even with Middleton, he's not built like Chuba.
Right.
He's not an every down guy.
Right.
And so I think you're going to have to find a guy that is a little closer to that for the future.
Yeah, exactly. Looking long term, you know, maybe DeAndre Glass is the guy.
Yeah.
I personally was sort of put off by the way things went for him in his true freshman year when he redshirted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had the fumble. Didn't even suit up a lot of games. Didn't travel that much for a 4-star recruit at the running back position. You expect them to be able to come in and at least be in the mix on the depth chart. I mean, even after Jameel Jeter left, he didn't really. I mean, there were still walk-ons getting attention ahead of him. So, you know, we saw him walk across the street over from the facility into the locker room in scout team gear pretty often. So, you know, I'm not saying the kid's a bust at this point, but he's got some climbing to do to get up where he can contribute. So we'll see what happens. I think you know, Oklahoma State's in on a cornerback who is a grad transfer from Missouri. That would be a helpful spot
to get some
experience in at a spot where really out of their top five corners last year, three of them were seniors, and you know, then they also had two young guys go on the portal. So they need some help there. You know, I think they feel pretty confident in what Thomas Harper can do, but it's a guy that still hasn't done it yet. So
yeah, I mean,
it's a tough situation. A
lot of unproven.
Yeah, exactly.
Pieces there.
So I think the majority of these Final Four spots are going to be Oklahoma State taking their time, shopping on the Amazon transfer portal, and seeing what they can find. So you what, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and talk about some other sports here on the Cowboy Chronicles, presented by Zaxby's. We are back on the Cowboy Chronicles, presented by Zaxby's. We'll move on from football. Get one quick one in on basketball. It's a tough time.
We got to make this one quick.
Tough time for them right now. Any thoughts on just what this team needs to do to kind of get out of this funk right now? I mean, the schedule hasn't been kind to them.
The schedule has not been easy. It's been tough. They have a really tough schedule, especially to open Big 12 play when they open with back-to-back games against Texas Tech and West Virginia. Yeah. And they've already played Baylor in Kansas and had to go to Iowa State, and that's not easy. I don't know, do you go major league style and you find some chickens and
right.
sacrifice a chicken at this point? Do you? So I mean,
they got a KFC in Stillwater. Get them a bucket.
I mean, I don't. It's this weird thing. It's like the last five games before Monday, their offense had improved every game. Their offensive efficiency on KenPom, everything had gone up.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like they were back to themselves for the most part. And then all of a sudden, the offense just reverted back to the Texas Tech West Virginia games against Kansas. And I don't know if it's the result of Kansas being Kansas or OSU's this bad offensively.
Right.
Or a mix. I'm lost.
Yeah.
I and even Mike Boynton said this is head scratching at this point. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think he knows the answer.
Right.
I know Kansas focused a ton on limiting OSU's 3-point
mm-hmm.
shots. They challenged everything they tried to shoot at the three, and they went 2 for 18. And then you had Ozebuke down low,
right,
swatting shots, mm-hmm. you know. And when he wasn't in the game for the 8-minute stretch, OSU dominated.
Yeah.
But when he was in the game, all of a sudden you couldn't get to the basket. You couldn't be the powerful team they wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's the problem. I don't know. Guys aren't shooting well. Lindy Waters has struggled shooting the ball.
Mm-hmm.
DeZagua didn't hit a shot the other night off the bench.
Yeah.
Cam McGriff has been good for the most part. I still think he takes too many 3-pointers. I'm going to dig into that stat at some point. Someone brought up that stat that they're not very good when he shoots so many 3-pointers per game.
Yeah,
that makes sense. Yorne's been up and down, but Yor played well the other night, I thought, too. Didn't score much, but he's also got a 7-foot guy on him every time he's in the game. And but he played well. He rebounded well. He had a lot of energy. I don't know. It doesn't.
Yeah.
I wish I had an answer. Bedlam is a winnable game for them. Mm-hmm. I feel like. I know OU has played better. I don't know that OU's better, though.
Right.
Talent-wise than OSU. Maybe this is the game that breaks them out of the funk mm-hmm. on Saturday.
Yeah.
If they lose this game, it's getting really ugly because all of a sudden you're 0-8
right.
in the Big 12.
Yeah.
With 10 games left, if you want to have any kind of shot tournament, you got to win basically all 10.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's getting ugly fast. You've got a lot of hope for the next year because you've got Cade Cunningham and Rondell Walker coming,
right.
yeah. possibly some other guys. But man, this is the year they're supposed to start building towards that, to where you had some depth right. around those guys. Yeah. And you're starting to wonder.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, last thing, and we'll move on from basketball. And I know that loyalty is a big deal to Mike Boynton. And so this might be a pointless question, but at some point, do you start sitting the seniors a little bit more and trying to give your young guys a chance to spend some more time on the floor just to prepare them for what's ahead?
Maybe. The problem is how do you present that to your seniors?
Right, yeah.
You know, I mean, DeZagua's already switched roles.
Right.
But I don't know that you sit Cam. Cam's such a big leader on the court.
No, I think you need him. I think you need him on the floor.
Lindy's kind of the same way. He's just not shooting well.
Right.
That's tough. You know, I think they've just they're gonna have to either play better or just ride this out at this point.
Yeah. It's a tough situation.
Because as like Mike Boynton brought up the other night, they've got three seniors and a bunch of young guys, and a lot of them clearly aren't ready.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and it's just kind of, I think it's blown up on in their face a little bit.
Yeah.
Kind of what they expected.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Because you felt like you had a core of seniors that could sort of hold things together, and then you put some talent around them, and maybe you start to climb a little bit, and it just hasn't worked that way. So,
because you had guys like, I mean, Caleb Boone and Avery Anderson have obviously developed like they had hoped. I mean, they're in a starting lineup now. They're contributing really well. Chris Harris has had good moments. You know, Keelan Boone played well the other night, I thought. You got guys like that, but then you've got even Jonathan Laurent. Jonathan Laurent has struggled so much, and then he had three good games, and then the other night against Kansas disappeared again.
Right.
And so, and he's a graduate transfer. He's played, you know, this is his third stop.
Right.
All Power Six schools for the most part. And so, guys just got to play better. Maybe that's the answer. They just got to play better.
Yeah. All right. Well, our one quick question about basketball took a whole lot more.
Yeah, but, I got a lot to say about these guys.
Right.
I guess.
Right. No, it's good stuff. It's good stuff because people are concerned about these guys. So it's good stuff. But wrap it up really quickly. I'll throw out some softball stuff. Let you finish it up with baseball. Kenny Gajewski, softball coach, comes out and says he thinks this team is better than they were a year ago. Players fully agreed, and looking at the new players they've got in, the players they've got back, obviously players like Cheyenne Factor, who you expect to take another step forward after a great year, but then a pitcher like Cary Eberle, who was the ACC Pitcher of the Year at Virginia Tech last year, transfers in. You know, you got other players. They had a girl, Haley Busby, who was one of the first transfers to announce her intentions. And right now, they're having trouble. She was a really talented infielder and a big bat, and they're having trouble trying to figure out where to get her on the field at. They're talking about moving her to the outfield and all sorts of stuff. So I believe them when they say that they feel they're better. They're more talented. Last year's team had a chemistry that was crucial to their success. We'll see if this team can build that for themselves. But baseball team, a lot of excitement around those guys as well. You got to talk to some players at Media Day the other day.
Yeah, Josh Holliday's excited. There's a lot of new faces, coaching staff-wise, with Matt Holliday and Robin Ventura, obviously, and player-wise. Parker Scott's back to lead the rotation. Brett Stanley could be in the rotation, could be in the bullpen. Young guys, Bryce Osmond and Campbell, guys like that. The lineup, I think they're excited about. It's going to be different.
Right.
It's not going to be the home run or strikeout lineup anymore.
Right.
You've still got McCusker's got power. Alex Garcia's got power. But you've got guys like Caden Polkovich and Houston Morrill and guys like that that are contact guys.
Right.
That are going to make a lot of contact, and they're going to do a little bit more small ball. And they got Brock Mathis transferred in, a catcher from LSU, started a bunch at LSU. They're excited about him. You know, but they're still figuring out some areas. You know, Caden Polkovich was named Big 12 preseason freshman of the year, or newcomer of the year today. He could play second. He could play third. Middle of the field's kind of where they're replacing people, though. They're moving Morrill from second to short.
Yeah.
So then you second baseman, center fielder, and catcher, kind of what they're really looking to replace.
Yeah.
And there's not a ton of answers necessarily on who yet. But I think they're getting there, and I think they're going to be a lot of fun. They're generally a top 20 team right now, top 15 to some. They're going to improve like they usually do.
Yep. I think it'll be a fun year to follow those guys. Morrill, the move to short, I think he's going to be really good there.
Yes.
I was really impressed with his glove work at second base last season. And, you know, he's a solid contact guy and a really good glove. So I think that'll be a good move. Parker Scott is a guy that I was always fascinated to watch. He's got a small guy, a lefty, but he's got kind of a I'm trying to think of a non-Cub to honestly to compare him to, but I can't do it. Kyle Hendricks is a guy that
crafty
and very effective in his precision that he works with, and I really enjoy watching that kid pitch. So looking forward to keeping an eye on those guys. Looking forward to seeing a few more games in Alley P, and then moving over to the Obreit Castle,
March 20th.
Yeah, so exciting stuff ahead. We'll keep you updated on all of those things. Didn't get around to wrestling. I'm gonna get to see those guys again this weekend. Hadn't seen them in a while, so looking forward to that. We didn't even talk about Brock Martin and Malcolm Rodriguez on the wrestling team.
We didn't. I thought we were going to talk about that.
Yeah, we should have. That one slipped my mind. That's a cool deal. But if you missed it, you can read my story. Go check me out on Twitter at ScottWrightOK or in today's Wednesday's Oklahoman. You can find that or on Oklahoman.com. It's everywhere if you want to read up on that. I don't have much to add to that anyway, because pretty much everything I knew went into the story.
Yeah,
so
that's good.
So so go check that out and you can enjoy that. We'll get some wrestling talk in next week's podcast. So for now, I think that will do it here on the Cowboy Chronicles, which as always is presented by Zaxby's. Satisfy your craving for hand breaded chicken and fresh made salads. Stop by your neighborhood Zaxby's today or order online at Zaxby's.com/podcast.